This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Live from Florida's capital city, this is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
To Jeff Cameron Show 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Great to be with you. Hustled back, good to go, in studio, live. Let's get to it. Fun to be at today's luncheon, and of course that signifies, as we all know, the start of spring football, which is exciting to me. I think for a lot of other people too. You can sense that they're very excited about the fact that the competition is going to be pretty intense, especially within a couple position groups, that secondary in particular. Tom, by the way, funny stat, the first day of spring football means that we end up hyper-focusing on spring football, but of course, as a multi-sports show, we care about the NCAA tournament. We care about the start of Major League Baseball. We care about a lot of things. Funny little stat. Did you know that NC State, I'll just get this out there because I'm going to forget to do it otherwise, and I think it's funny. NC State was 100-1 to win the ACC tournament as a double-digit seed. So you could have sprinkled a little pizza money on 100-1 to watch NC State win 5 games in 5 days. 5 games in 5 days. Why do I bring it up? That's more wins at the Capital One Arena in D.C. than the Wizards have since April of last year. NC State won more games in 1 week than the Wizards have in the same arena since April of last year.
Yeah, it's March. It's March right now. We're talking about a calendar year's worth of time.
Sweet Jesus.
I was hoping for one magical week in Washington, D.C. I just thought it'd be for us, not
no.
for them.
No, not at all. Rather amazing. And the committee screwed it up again in a lot of ways. We'll get into it this week. I'm glad it's back. I love the tournament. We'll bet on it. We'll do all those things. Let's get to football here. I thought Mike was in great spirits. I had a chance to talk to him off the record just about his trip to Ireland a little bit, and that was nice. And we kind of compared notes, but you know, he seems locked in and ready to go. And he noted, for a lot of people, I'm sure they'll cite this as well, that the program is one of only, I think, 5 in the country that has the coaching continuity where they bring everybody back, and they've added to it in the sense that infrastructure was brought up today, and how excited he is of what they've been able to do. The investment in the program, as he put it, he specifically cited the football-only facility as well as the stadium and other stuff regarding staffing and what they're doing. I think you get a sense from a reference there that they've just really begun where he wants to go on the heels of 13-0. And yeah, we know how Florida State got snubbed, but we wondered how it might affect the program. I don't think it's going to. I think that they're hungry and angry and continuing to build on culture. Didn't you get the sense from what you watched that we provided for everybody there? All the War Chant team was there today. You got plenty of coaches' interviews. I talked to Tony Tokars at length. I'll get into that here in a second about what he said about the quarterback room. But they're very, very proud of the culture that they've created. And I think the reason that they are is that now that that investment has proven true year over year and that that culture has won out, it makes it a lot easier to continue to build and move forward, because whether you're a freshman coming from the high school ranks or a transfer, you understand there's a modus operandi and a way of doing things that the players now control after having fully bought in year over year, and the success has also come. So I think that that, to me, the greater picture, bigger conversation was about the culture that exists here and how very proud they are that it has taken hold.
Yeah, they sound pumped up about all of those things. I think it does come from the winter conditioning, because, you know, when you think about that type of work, either the busy work or the stuff that's not so fun, typically you have to have a strong culture and a bunch of veteran leaders to set the pace, make sure everybody's accountable. Like in Florida State's golden era of 29 straight wins, how often did Jimbo Fisher bring up guys like LaMarcus Joyner, Telvin Smith, and Timmy Jernigan and others, James Wilder, who pushed each other? Well, in theory, we lost all of those guys. You know, in theory, we lost just about every single one of those players or those types of players that were on 22 and 23. They came back last year and they go, and you just wonder, all right, is there a void? And who picks up that void? And for Mike Norvell to come out the gates in his press conference today and talk about how this was the best tour of duty, this is one of the best winter conditioning segments I've ever been a part of as a coach, and you could hear it. He was fired up about that. You're right. I think that is, you're taking pride as a coach in a player-run program and a player-run standard, and not necessarily that the coaches have to baby them from step to step to step. And one thing I heard a lot of today, just so you can go on War Chant TV when the show's over, all assistant coaches are available on the channel. I'm hearing a lot about the talent, the level of talent, the depth of talent. They're all very proud and ready to share the fact that they believe that there is a second wave and perhaps a third wave in some positions of players who are Florida State caliber. And they're looking at that and getting excited about what's to come here in spring camp.
Funny, Adam Fuller referenced today in passing, it wasn't part of the on-the-record discussion that we had, but I don't think he would mind me mentioning this because it's a positive for them and the way they view this. He goes back to talking about Jermaine Johnson, who was just in his office with Jared Verse, which is interesting. The two never got to play together, but there they are. And obviously both are huge supporters of Florida State, meaning that Jermaine comes back and works out and lives here in the off season when he's not playing for the Jets. And then Jared has shown obviously a passion for the other programs in the athletic department. He's often seen at softball games, baseball games, and the like, basketball, et cetera. And he says they're kind of cut from the same cloth in that regard. But what he was talking about, he actually referenced Kier Thomas, and he said how important Kier Thomas had been when his time was here. And he was talking about a lot of the guys that have led to this. I thought it was interesting that they've carried over the year-over-year conversation, because it kind of marries nicely with what Coach Norvell said when asked about a significant loss of talent on the defense and experience. And then he noted, well, we've got actually a lot of experience and a lot of guys that have played a ton of football. And I thought that was interesting, because as he threw out the names, you realize he's right. Whether it's Azaria Thomas, whether it's Fintrell Cypress, whether it's D-Jax, who practiced every day last year, whether it's Shaheen Brown, whether it's Farmer, whether it's Patrick Payton, whether it's the return of DJ Lundy, go on and on and on. There's a lot of guys that have played a lot of football on that side of the ball that would make it that much easier to carry over what we're referencing, right? How things are done and why. And so I don't know that it, to me, I don't worry about some of the inexperience that's left on that side of the ball. I want to see the quality. I think the competition will bring out the quality, in particular in the secondary. I think we do know, though, that some guys are going to be limited in spring, and Coach Norvell basically kind of didn't dodge the question. He said, I'll give you a greater idea of who's limited and who's not as we get into the week, as we start to know which players have an opportunity to come back before the end of spring, which are going to be limited in what they can do. We'll have the discussion basically a little bit later in the week, but he did hint that there might be a few guys. So there are some positions where I think the intensity of competition is what we're excited about, but it may be limited in the spring because a few of these guys are going to be able to do everything.
Well, I like what it does for the offensive line room. You want to see everybody participate. You want to see everybody practice, but Alex Atkins was willing to talk about a couple players specifically today.
Yeah.
One of those was Julian Armella will be working at guard. That makes a lot of sense. It does a lot of sense. But what's interesting about that is you pair that with the fact that Robert Scott's going to be limited for spring. And, hey, you know, this is something. It's somebody that you're not counting on. If he plays for you in the fall, it's a bonus. That's my personal take on it. I know you share that as well. If he does play, it's nice. There's a difference. But for now, since Alex Atkins was willing to say that on the record, okay, this tackle battle is going to be interesting because there are a couple of younger players that they could lean upon, especially if Armella is going to play guard. Jalen Early, is this your time? Lucas Simmons, how much can you handle? It also tells me that Darius Washington is probably going to be one of your two tackles. You know, Jeremiah Byers, can you take a step forward? You're okay, but...
I mean, hey, he wasn't that good. No. Yeah, I'm with you.
You're the other side of Jazz Turnitine, probably. Like we might have liked Jazz in some situations a little bit better at that position. So this is going to be an interesting battle where, again, you have some names that you would expect to be starters, but if there are reps up for grabs, when the twos come out or you rotate them in and you cross-train, you get to see Lucas or Jalen Early up there with one of the ones. Okay, I'm very excited to see that.
Strongest, you referenced it at the outset, strongest average, if you will, when we talk about bench, we talk about squat, we talk about clean, that the team's ever been. And that's despite losing some really strong dudes off that last year's football team. Pretty cool. They just continue to build on it. I the only thing I cared about with that, and it's good to be strong, obviously, he didn't dwell on it. He just pointed it out. But hearing that Patrick Payton gained 15 pounds of muscle in the offseason already, well, okay. I mean, it's only March. We're doing some things here, and Patrick Payton needed to get bigger. He already had the skill set, the quickness, the length, timing, all those things are there for him. If he's going to get that much bigger and stronger, he may be a nightmare for opposing teams in the ACC. That's a guy who I think can play his way on up the draft boards just like every of the other defensive ends that we keep talking about here.
It's that's doing some things.
Well,
it's the Bama table. Because you think about it, you're going to mend your wounds from the season itself and camp and the final, the practices for the bowl. And then, what happens late in December, like you're not done working in December. And you're essentially from that point putting on 5 pounds a month of muscle while you're doing tour of duty workouts. Okay, that's very impressive. That's very Bama table-esque. I like that number.
We spent a long time worried that we did not have what it takes to be the benefactor of the so-called Bama table, as I branded it years ago. And I wanted to know when we would be fully committed to the kind of strength and conditioning it takes to win in big-time college football. I think we finally graduated to that place. Because you can look around this roster and you can hear stats like that. You can look out on the field and you can hear the weightlifting numbers and just recognize that we have graduated to a new place that is now consistent. It's not a player here or there that just might happen to be a freak. It's not a transfer that comes in and shows you what's possible like Jermaine Johnson did when he got here and we all went, there's nobody on the team that looks like that except for that dude, which was an indicator of how far behind we were of the elite programs. Yeah, the Bama table has been fully embraced, and they are all in on proper nutrition and weightlifting and what it takes from a commitment standpoint to win and win big and get big. Get big. Look big, be strong, all those things. That's there. It'll be fun tomorrow to go out there and begin to see those body types. It's also fun to hear of the excitement, the enthusiasm, the embracing of the culture that we referenced a moment ago by the newcomers. In fact, the quote, and I have it written here because I thought it was fascinating. Here it is on my note sheet. Lots of teams, other teams, have brought in more transfers than we have, yet people point to us. It's about getting the right guys. It's about being right. He's proud. He's proud that they have created a way to discern whether or not you're willing to sacrifice for those around you for the betterment of the team. Quote, we want guys that care about others, guys that want to make others better. That's another quote from Mike Norvell. Yeah, that's what's won over. That's how you've been able to recruit over top of kids that were already here, and we don't read about, hear about, or witness all kinds of culture rot. You don't see it. It doesn't happen. The guys that come in, whether they're freshmen from high school, whether they're transfers coming in, or they are players that return from the year before and witness others coming in at their position, because the through line is that this buy-in to sacrifice for the greater good stuff that a lot of times makes people roll their eyes. If you're not winning games, it makes everybody roll their eyes. But they are winning games. They're winning lots of games. In fact, they won all of them except for the non-participation bowl game. I mean, that's the difference. Now you can believe it because the ammunition is the winning on the field.
Well, the other part is they don't have the time to worry about it. You don't have time. The competition's here. And if you want to pout about it, then you're not going to play here. Might as well move on your way. If you're not going to hit the gym and do whatever needs to be done to be a good football player and a developing football player, you're going to get beat in camp by that player. So you don't have the time. You might as well just go now or you're going to lose the job unless you commit to doing things the right way. Because if you do and you listen to your coaching and you take those steps forward, you're going to be the one to win those drills. You're going to be the one to put the film out there that gets you to play. In short, competition knocks out all of that nonsense. You know, a lot of complacency sets in when you've got guys who are in fixed positions. They know they're the starters, and it's either that or their coach is going to protect them, like a couple of diminutive wide receivers for Florida State in 2014 and 2015. Mistakes are made, but there's no accountability. That's the whole thing here. You don't have time to pout. Because the moment you do, you're playing for Colorado or you're playing for somebody else. You're not playing for Florida State.
The question was asked of Mike with a 40% turnover in roster. He said it's close to what it was a year ago, at 35% or thereabouts. The percentage has more to do with the new age of college football and the way you recruit. It's about being right. That's a carryover from what I said before. There are others who have brought in more transfers than us. People mention us, though. It's about being the right. It's about finding the right guys who are the right fit. There it is. There it is. That is that explains how they're able to do it without people getting angry and transferring left and right. Because that question is asked of me all the time. How do guys do this? Well, this is how they've done it. And they are kind of the poster child right now for doing it right, getting it right more consistently than most of the other programs that you witness who bring in big numbers of transfers. It's. I mean, everybody out there has brought in a guy, and they can give you an illustration or example where it worked out for them. But when you do it in mass like this, and you sustain excellence, and you grow the program simultaneous, then you're clearly doing it right.
But that's the other part of it too, is the consistency of message from the head coach down to the position coaches, down to whatever liaisons that you have within the football program, you know, day to day counseling, whatever it is, and then also the NIL organization. Like, all of that matters. Like, you know. How many times when the boys were younger did Bryce get a no from mom and ask you, or Clark get a no from you and he went over and asked Christy the same question to see if he could get a different answer? There are a lot of programs around the country where the coach may say one thing, but maybe the NIL collector says another, or vice versa. You know, and there's not a streamlined message, and you're all pulling in the same direction. But, you know, the reputation of the collective we have is the money's good. You know, they make their payments. The money's good. It's competitive. So that's not a problem. So the only problem at this point, if you're not getting the results you want, is you, the player. You can't point your finger anywhere else. And again, in and of itself, that creates a great set of policing that the coaching staff doesn't have to consider. Because if they had a barrier, then the coaching staff would be stressed all the time because they know that they're only going to get a player to a certain aptitude level, then he's going to go peace and go play for somebody else, like an Alabama or like an Ohio State, because they've got more in the way of dollars. Like, all of it is pulling in the right direction. I just hope it can keep going, because this place, this program is, momentum is going up, and the only thing that could stop it is themselves, I would say, at this point, because another year where he is proud of the work they put in the offseason. It's impressive. Now they just need to stay healthy and have a good camp.
See, Rosa asks, what's the potential for Brock to take the QB1 position from DJU? I asked that question specifically to Tony Tokars. I will give you that answer, what he had to say when we come back. Ira Shaffel will also be set to join us on the other side of this. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Seminoles, we all know how important it is to score in the red zone, but are you prepared for success in the retirement red zone? 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after are a critical time of thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend and fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are prepared to coach you to victory. Some of us, well, we're at midfield and want to plan ahead. Others are ready to punch it in on the goal line. Whether making sure you know how much you can spend without running out of money, protecting yourself and your family against rising healthcare costs, or carefully planning your legacy, the Artisan team brings a combined 30-plus years of planning experience and world-class resources to help you navigate the way. For more information, just head over to KnollRetirement.com. Now, that's one word, KnollRetirement.com.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
So away we go. Before Ira Chevelle is set to join us here at the bottom of the hour, let me get to a couple of things here of importance and of note for you. I'll answer some questions on the Heisen Lincoln Law Firm chat here in just a second. But first, let's put up here for people on the chat watching what's going on with Garnet and Gold. Go save some money, man. This is an awesome, awesome deal. Take me out to War Chant Day is what you got here. Take me out to the ballpark. Indeed, look at the gorgeous. You guys can't see it out there, but the jerseys to be garnered and worn at the baseball games. The undefeated baseball team appreciate you. There is Tuesday, March 19th. That's tomorrow. If you are a War Chant subscriber and only a War Chant subscriber, you save 25% off all FSU baseball items at Garnet and Gold. I particularly like this gold one. If you're looking on the screen, it's just stunning. It's beautiful. 25% for War Chant subscribers at Garnet and Gold. That's what you're saving if you go tomorrow to pick up your gear. And there's a lot of other gear there, too, that's sweet. And I actually owe Garnet and Gold a visit, just thought I'd make mention of that. That's an aside. We had a question in the Heisen Linka Law Firm chat that I mentioned I'd get to before the break. And that question had to do with what's the potential for Brock Glenn to take the QB1 position from DJU? I asked a very similar, if almost verbatim, question of that to Tony Tokars, the quarterback coach. I have now sat down with him for 3 years in a row, thoroughly enjoyed that. He was ready for our conversation this year, smiled, and we got caught up. And I asked him about, you know, the tough stuff that Brock had to deal with at the end of last year. Of course, he had an injury during much of the year, so he's thrown into the mix, and then he watches as you guys go bring in, you know, another quarterback who presumably is brought in to start. I mean, that guy's played a ton of football. He didn't come here to sit. And he said, well, it's in the core of our DNA of the program to just go out and compete every day. The challenge to you as a player in this program is, can you put good day upon good day and stack that upon another good day and then another good day? If you get better and work to that end every day, then interesting things can happen and have. So that's a hell of an answer, first of all. I like that. Look, you can perceive whatever you want to perceive, but if you go put in the work and have a good day and follow it up by another good day and you stack those days upon one another, nothing is out of the question. And that is how you, I think, foster elite competition. I think that's what you're talking about. It's not about the perception that this guy has been here for 4 years and I've been here for two and I can't knock him off his pedestal, or I've been here for two and now you're bringing in a guy who's played 3 years of football in front of me and I'm assuming you brought him in to play, so I'm just going to what? Go through the motions? No. No, he's saying everybody, including the newcomers and anybody else, even a guy who came in behind you like Luke Kromenhoek. If he comes in and stacks good day upon good day upon good day, interesting things can happen. And that's true because we've seen it happen at that position in particular, by the way. So that's what's interesting to me. I thought it was a great answer. Let's go talk to my man, Ira Shafel, warchant.com, who, of course, was there today as well. Hello, Ira. How are you, buddy?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good, man. I was just going through a quote from Tony Tokars in my conversation with him about the quarterback battle. And, you know, I thought one of the things that kind of celebrated a little bit today from Mike on down was just how proud they are to have really ingrained and built a culture that is now owned by the players and helps them build upon the successes year over year. That seemed to resonate with me. What else resonated with you?
Yeah, I think, you know, clearly Mike Norvell wanted to hammer home the point also that this is not a team. There's a lot of attention on the newcomers, especially the transfers, because they're at some marquee positions. But it seemed like he wanted to hammer home the message that, you know, we also return a bunch of guys, a lot of guys at key positions, a lot of guys who maybe didn't start in the past, but they're guys who have played a lot of football, and now maybe they're moving into a starting role, maybe they're moving into a leadership role. But this isn't necessarily a team that's really even reloading. It's more like just continuing the next step of their journey. So I think, and, you know, talking to coaches on both sides of the ball, you know, I kind of got that sense. They feel very confident that there's no, like, starting over, really, at any position. I guess certainly wide receivers probably one you'd make that argument. But even there, they kept pointing to the Kentron Portiers and the guys who've been in the system for a long time.
Yeah, you asked that question specifically, and he said that, look, I mean, we had 24 guys that were active last year defensively. We played a ton of guys, AZ, Fentrell, Shaheem, Farmer, Peyton, Lundy, Djax. He talked about a lot of guys. He was, and as he did that, as he went through the litany of guys, I kind of thought, well, damn, he's right. All those dudes played a ton.
Yeah, they did. And really, you know, and he's talking about the offense, he pointed out that, you know, usually offensive line is the position you're most concerned about when it comes to continuity when you're bringing in new guys. I think, you know, going back to, I remember Jimbo Fisher used to talk about the guys further away from the ball, meaning physically on the field, it's usually easier to get them involved in a new system than it is the guys close to the ball, which is the lineman and maybe the quarterback. And, you know, so, yeah, you've got some new faces at wide receiver on offense. You've got some new faces, you know, some of the skill positions. But the offensive line's got a lot of guys who play a lot of football. And then even in the backfield, you know, Lawrence Tofili and some of those guys. So, yeah, it's probably – there's more continuity than we probably realize because, you know, we do hyper-focus in the offseason on a lot of the transfers.
And that continuity, as he pointed out, includes having the exact same staff come back, right? I mean, yeah. He was proud of that, happy about that guys turned down – positions at other places to come back here because he likes the thought of where this thing is building towards. I thought it was interesting when you asked him about whether they'll have to take it a little bit slower, in particular because you're breaking in a new quarterback. But he did say that he wants to push them there, and he wants to make the quarterbacks, amongst other potential starters, he wants to make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, too, the way he talked about that. Almost like we're not just trying to set them up for success. You know, they need to fail, and that's how we're going to find out what they really need to work on during the rest of the offseason. In some ways, you know, spring football it's important, and it's important for a lot of reasons. But one of the things is it really creates the opportunity for them to know what they need to work on during those months between the end of spring and then August when camp starts. Well, I guess this year in July when camp starts, but, you know, really gives them an idea of what they need to work on. And so, yeah, if you just kind of set it up to where they can have success and get confidence, you're probably not going to find out everything you really need to work on.
Going back to something you mentioned that he alluded to at wide receiver and where it's perceived that, you know, you're breaking in guys. But, you know, I thought it was important that obviously we weren't surprised to hear him mention Destin Hill. We were not surprised to hear him mention Hakeem. Of course, he led the discussion by talking about Kentron and saying that he wanted to see him take another step. I thought that was interesting to specifically call him towards the "you need to take another step" conversation, because that's in there. He wouldn't say that if he didn't believe it, right? We saw glimpses of it throughout his career, including in the bowl game most recently, where he was one of only a couple of players where you could be excited about the way they played against Georgia. But he also mentioned, Ira, and am I reading too much into this? He also mentioned Vandrevious Jacobs. Maybe that young man is taking a step, and I'm excited to hear it.
I know you are. I know we all would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, certainly those old guys, the focus is going to be on them right now, Kentron and Darion Williamson and some of those guys who have been around for a long time, Ja'Kai Douglas, to step up and be leaders. But also, yeah, I mean, like, Vandrevious was the guy we thought, based on last spring, was going to make an impact in the fall, and that never happened. Well, it's not like it would be a time to panic if it doesn't happen this year, but there's nothing saying it can't happen this year. They have wide open positions. And so, yeah, he, Destin Hill, Hakeem Williams, even some of the younger guys, I think, you know, Jalen Brown transfers in from LSU. And, you know, he didn't play much at LSU, but he's a guy that was super talented too. So, yeah, I think all the focus is on Malik Benson, rightfully so, because he's got the biggest name, the biggest pedigree. But there's wide open competition for those young guys, and you want to see them take it.
I guess I'm kind of wondering where we'll all get to see it. You know, start tomorrow, we'll all be out there. It'll be exciting. I guess, how do you envision, I want to get your kind of projections before the first snap of camp happens. How do you think we are going to be describing DJ, Uwe Ungulale, at the end of this camp? What do you think we're going to say about him when this is all said and done through spring?
That's a good question. I think we're going to feel – I think there's going to be some confidence about him, but I think it's going to take a while to kind of get a feel for exactly, you know, how he's being used. You know, like, we had so much time with Jordan Travis, you know, going back 4 years. And so we saw his development kind of take place over time. So with DJ, I think it's going to be interesting, and that's kind of why I asked that question, is, like, is he going to have the full playbook? Is it going to be scaled down? Is it going to be, you know, is he going to be, obviously he's going to take a lot of shots with that big arm, but is he going to be asked to really use the whole field right away, or is that going to develop over time? I think we're going to feel good about it, but I can't imagine we're going to come out of the spring thinking, okay, this guy's going to pick right up where Jordan Travis left off. I think those 3 or 4 months between the spring in July are probably going to be a big deal for him too.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have questions too. I agree with you. I think we're going to see a lot of good things, especially with the big arm and the speed that they have at receiver now. But I think we're going to have days where we go, ooh, man, a lot of work here. But that's okay, because then we have to remind ourselves that that's what spring is for, right? That's what kind of what Mike was talking about. Well, brother, I know you're on the Smash tonight, and so folks can tune on in to get the insights and the other observations that you have on War Chant TV, 7 o'clock tonight, right?
Sounds great, man.
Looking forward to it. Be good, brother.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks.
Yeah, man. That's Ira Shafel, warchant.com, of course, my cohort here at War Chant. And I love spring. I especially love spring when you bring in a bunch of talented dudes and we want to, you know, kind of see how they fit into things and the competition that they create. It'll be fun. It'll be really fun. Hey, by the way, attention, Florida, are you a victim of an auto accident? We introduce our live chat sponsor, Heisen Legal Law Firm, dedicated to presenting injured clients. Representing is the better way of saying that, statewide. If you've been in an accident, call Heisen Legal Law Firm at 813-803-0733 for a free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisen Legal Law Firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 now or visit HeisenLegalLawFirm.com. Heisen Legal Law Firm, your advocate in times of need. Offices, Tampa.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey gang, Tom here. You know from the show that I'm a huge golf nut. I live it, I breathe it, any spare time I have, I'm on the golf course. That's why I think it's pretty cool that the folks at PXG picked up on that. PXG says nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, period. I've seen the ads just like you, but I was skeptical for a long time about giving them a try. This week, I drove up to the PXG store in Westchester, New York, and I was blown away. Nobody I've seen makes club fitting more personalized. Truly. Period. The setup was private, it looked and felt VIP, and they put me to work giving the Black Ops driver a test run. That's right, the new driver, the PXG Black Ops driver. Short answer, it plays. I'm not a super long hitter, but in neutral conditions, I can carry it around 240, 245, give or take. Hot weather, maybe a little bit deeper. So I figured I'd be seeing things in the 230s when I went for the test run. And I did. I started out slow, but then the personalized fitter tweaked my weight distribution in the club head, they got the club shaft in line, and they dialed me in. And the Black Ops driver plays. I was launching it in my range, consistently carrying it over 245 yards within 25 swings, and it didn't feel weird at all. It felt actually very comfortable. PXG says more forgiveness, more distance, no sacrifices. I can see it. I was rusty. I really wasn't on my game today, and they bailed me out to the tune of serious yardage. I can't wait to see how long I hit it once I'm in springtime form. Game changer has been thrown around so much, it's lost its meaning. Trust me when I tell you that the PXG driver is a true game changer. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/Cameron. That's pxg.com/Cameron. For free shipping on all equipment. PXG.com/Cameron.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
Really quickly, let me remind everybody that our friends at Zaxby's, of which there are 97 locations in Tallahassee, have been a Golden Chief booster for over 19 years. So I don't know why you wouldn't support them in the same way that they support FSU and support us, right? That's what you would do. You'd go make it happen. Hopefully this weekend, this past weekend, maybe on Friday, as you made your way out to the ballpark, you got yourself some platters. Platters would have been delightful on a Friday. I know on Saturday afternoon, I got just a classic Zaxby's chicken sandwich.
And solid as a rock, my man. That is always it hits the spot. That'll be me on Saturday getting the classic sandwich. That's how it all Zaxby's begins. Then a couple of days for maybe work. Next week. I don't know. Are you going to be shipping me over to the practice fields on Tuesday? Can I ride with you, buddy?
You can jump in. Next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow. I was going to say, you flying in tonight?
No.
Yeah, that'd be fine. That'd be good. Jump on in. I'm excited about it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if FSU baseball makes it out of this month undefeated, we're starting to get equal on the win totals and the fingers in a platter. Like, win for finger in every single one. Those will last you a little bit, unless you're tailgating with a large crowd, then get two with a bunch of sauces.
I will also say that, buddy, the wins just keep on coming in a way that really, really make me smile. I'm so happy. I know we mentioned it in the first hour from this morning in order to have that cover hour that we needed to go over and be a part of the luncheon today and to interview coaches and. But I mean it sincerely. I love Florida State baseball. I have long been an advocate in the sense that I like talking about it on the show because I belong to a community that cares about it. And I get that that's one of the perks of the job doing sports talk in Tallahassee. There aren't too many places that would allow you to talk college baseball with any degree of enthusiasm without folks getting angry. But it's just cool to see a guy like Lincoln, to see the program turn around. It's always been a big part of this city for me and the university. So they're, you know, whatever is going to happen. They're going to win some games or lose some games. There's going to be series where they don't play well. It's going to happen because that's what baseball does. But for as prolonged as it's been right now, for them to keep winning this way It's just silly. I mean, they're winning in every possible manner, all of the categories that you want to see. Can you win a close game? Can you win a game that is pitching dominant? Can you win a game where your defense carries the day? Has there been moments where your base running led you to the victory, or, you know, taking that extra base put you in a position to get the run needed that lit, you know, went on to become the winning run? Can you hit for power? Do you throw strikes? Do you have good at-bats? They do all of the things through 18 games exceptionally well.
It is detail sound. That's the thing. You wouldn't have swept this weekend if you weren't detail sound. And you could power your way past a lot of teams, but Notre Dame plays good defense too. They pick up the ball. I thought they showed a lot of heart on Friday specifically, where we hit them with a barrage. Yeah, they score first, but then we hit them with a barrage. They get out of a jam where we have the bags loaded, and they hold us down to six for a good long period of time. But we didn't wither. Mm-hmm. You know, as they get it down, starts to get a little closer. We pull back, push away from them, did it on Tuesday in Gainesville too. That's another example of where maybe if you're a front runner and you get out to a lead like that, you give it all back. You give it all away to the Gators on the road because you're not ready for prime time yet. But Florida State tacked on more runs. Carson Dorsey pitched to the tune of getting eight guys in a row after serving up the grand slam in a single. He got eight guys in a row. Everybody settled down. Like, all of those little things mend, you know, winning streaks and keep them going. Especially in baseball, where a lot of weird stuff happens, you have to have different phases of the game show their head in a good way. And we run the bases well, you're right, we pick up the baseball. And I was just very impressed this last week how Dorsey got some big outs. Leiter had a big, I think, was it 10 pitches, 12 pitches, strikes out the side on Friday night.
Yeah.
Oxford gets three or four king-sized outs this weekend on Friday and Saturday. Noah Short was good, too. Like, that. Okay, we have some guys who can find the outs, and I think more solutions are coming too. Rowan wasn't ready for prime time. You saw that on Friday. One batter, Link's like, nope, not yet.
Yeah.
But that's coming. That's coming very soon too.
Jacob asks in the Heisen Leica Law Firm chat room, do you think that Roydell Williams will start? You're referencing the running back that came over from Alabama, and I guess to answer it succinctly, I do. I do. I think he will. Now, they're going to do what they do, which is rotate a ton of people in because you've got other guys that are very, very talented and reasons to be excited. But this thing about Roydell is he's 217 pounds and, you know, he's coming in here as a veteran. So it's not like he's, you know, a freshman that you're having to worry about here, Tom. And so I think he will start. I would be surprised if he didn't. That said, again, I get very excited about some of the other guys. In particular, you have heard me mention him numerous times. Cam Davis is a true freshman. I think he's going to play because Kaziah Holmes is going to play. I mean, they got people. Lawrence Toafili is going to play. I mean, they got guys. Hell, I think there'll be spots for Jalen Lucas. Yeah, I mean, he's a spark plug.
Well, they've got a lot of variety of how they want to line things up, especially if they ever do what I'm begging for, which is go six offensive linemen from time to time. But they've got a lot of variety. If they want to bring speed to the table in a given week, they can. If they want to bring ground and pound, they can. I found it interesting that Chris Thompson spoke today on the biggest thing that Kyle Morlock needed to do was hit the gym and improve his gym numbers to get stronger so he can become, quote-unquote, a dominant blocker. And Thompson thinks he can get there through work with Josh Storms in the gym. Well, I don't care who it is, whether it's Kyle Morlock or somebody else in the roster, if you can find somebody who can block at that position and do so with consistency, that opens up another element of whether you want to bring multiple backs on the field at the same time, what you can do position-wise in terms of do you want an inline tight end or a lead back for a guy like Roydell in short yardage instead of having to go to a DJ Lundy? Like, there's a lot to sort out. Like, the fun part is that they're talented, they're fast, and they're strong. But the challenge is you got to sort out all of these little parts you have and then have it tell a story in an offense. And I think that's what spring's going to be about. My guess is you're going to see a whole lot of different stuff in spring, and they might be just trying to find out what sticks and what works.
I'm going to tell you that I think a couple things are going to be true of spring. It's going to be disjointed. A lot of spring football practices are. You're going to have a good day followed by a sloppy day, followed by a frustrating day, followed by a great day, followed by a, got this to work on. Because you have a lot of new parts to deal with and a new quarterback. You're going to have some days that really, really get you excited about what they're trying to do. And I don't want to jump the gun, but I heard two separate coaches today. One of them was Tony Tokars. You just mentioned Chris Thompson. I heard him mention it too. Maybe I heard three coaches today, one that I was not interviewing. I just heard him say the word, the phrase as I was passing by. But you know what I heard a lot of today, Tom, was play action. So here we go. This is my cup of tea, baby. Here it comes. We're going to bludgeon your ass, and then we're going to throw over the top. I think that's what they want to do. I think the personnel suggests that. I think the quarterback's arm suggests that. The speed they brought in, the folks we have in terms of the offensive backfield, the strength numbers, the size of the offensive line. Buddy, I think they're going to run the ball, people, and they're going to throw the ball down the damn field. They are going to hit big time shots down the field.
The question is, how does that blend with tempo and what formations do you use? Do you bring some under – we talked about this last week, but do you put DJU under center at any point and get straight downhill with it? Like that's going to be the fun part of what they sort out. But, you know, play action is derived from what? The ability to successfully run the ball. They didn't run the ball successfully as they wanted to last year. So I'm sure if there's something outside of the committee that they could be pissed about as to what happened last year, it'd be that they did not run the ball with the consistency and the explosiveness that they wanted to. 2022 was a better year on the ground than last year was, period. So if they can get back to that place, then with this quarterback's arm and the speed they have on the perimeter, yeah, things can get fun. And it also is fun to see a guy like Roydell Williams line up out there. Like he and Toa Fili are a perfect pairing because of the variety of things that they can do. I think that would be very difficult to defend if you're in a two-back and you see Roydell and Toa Fili, because it could go any which way.
Well, you know, one thing that we know about Mike, no matter whether it was at Memphis or his early years here, is that he'll be frustrated by last year's inability to consistently win first down and run the ball. He'll be mad about that, and he'll want to rectify that. He'll be very, very hell-bent on doing so. And again, I think we see personnel decisions that represent that. Tim, I see you there. Great meeting you and Corey before the baseball game Saturday. Yes, it was. Which one of the three defensive end transfers have put on the most amount of muscle and looked different from their previous school? Can you give me, Tim? I appreciate you weighing in here. Can you give me till tomorrow? I'm going to see him tomorrow. I'm going to see him in action tomorrow. I saw him in the tour of duty, and I was impressed by all three. Of the newcomers. So I'm talking about Marvin Jones Jr., obviously, the kid from Oregon State, Lohia. Yeah, and even the West Virginia. No, we got guys. Let me get a good long look at him tomorrow, Tim, and I'll give you a better answer.
It sounded like lining up Durajaye in different spots was something that Adam Fuller is considering. It's a lot of weight. He's got a lot of weight on him. And I'm not saying it's too much. I'm just saying if you didn't want to move him around, maybe make him an interior specialist on, say, third and passing.
Yeah, we've done it before. Yeah, you could do it. You could do it.
They are large bodies. That was something you could tell from the tour of duty and photos. I'm sure it looks that way in reality as well. But you see why Marvin Jones Jr. is a five-star. Like you, that frame.
The frame, yeah.
Everything about it says professional. Now, the question is, when he gets some one-on-one drills and combo passing and running blocking drills, how consistently does he win? Because now we've got such a frame of reference. That's the other fun part, is the continuity of what we get to do as media members. It was cut by COVID for a long period of time, but now you saw what it was like when the team was capable of winning just a few games, then 10, then going undefeated in the ACC. There's a through line that we have, a frame of reference, to know whether, like, if Marvin stands out, well, you've just seen Jared Verse and Jermaine Johnson in recent years. So if he stands out, that's a good sign, because we've got a frame of reference of a bunch of NFL-type players at the position.
Durajaye, you mentioned he's big. Specific to the question, has gotten bigger since they came over. I don't know what he weighed at West Virginia, but he's listed 280 here. So he's a monster. I have to go back and look at what he was at West Virginia, but I think it's got to be somewhere in that neighborhood, right? I mean, he's only been here a short period of time. He's huge. Now, I will tell you, you mentioned the body type of Marvin Jones Jr. That has me excited, because I saw an athlete moving at 250 plus pounds And again, I'm biased, yes, because his father is my favorite player in Florida State history. But if you have that DNA, those genes, and you're 250-plus, and you were a five-star guy, you come in here with that strength, and it's go time already, right? It's time to do something. This has to be kind of a prove-it year for you. I suggest we're going to see him get even bigger, even stronger, and take a huge leap in terms of production on the field this year. That was, he might have been a little bit buried at Georgia. He started to play more towards the end of the year. I think there was a acclimation period that went a little longer than folks would have liked for a five-star. We may be getting him at just the right time. And I tend to think that that's true. We're getting him right at the moment where all of those pressures come together and he's of the right mentality and the right maturity. I'm excited. There's so many guys. This is what's different, guys, is that as the program's gotten better, again, the floor continues to be raised, and you have to go segment group by segment group, and you say, I'm excited about this guy, this guy, this guy. It's always in multiples. It's very rarely singular. Good work out of you, Tom. Good work out of you, Director, as always. You see Tom and Ira tonight on the Smash 7 o'clock War Chant TV. Be good, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's good to be back with you. Peace.